Hello, we're considering Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And what I want to do is start off by saying what I'm not here to do today, nor any day. I'm not here to teach my opinion. I'm not here to teach some man-made theological system. I'm not here to cancel other biblical truths, such as mankind is responsible for their sin, or believers are called to preach the gospel to all people, or such as mankind is invited to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and must do so in order to be saved. But what I am here to do is this. I'm here to teach that which God has spoken in his word. I'm not here to speak as God, but the word of God. And I cannot reconcile everything in the Bible. We face this, and this is taken from a pastor, but he asks these questions to help us flesh this out or see it before our eyes. Who wrote the book of Romans, the book that we're studying right now? Paul or the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But how do we reconcile that? It's Paul's writings, yet it's the Holy Spirit writing through him. We can't fully reconcile it. Who lives your Christian life? You or God through you? Yes. Yes. You're called to obey. And yet, Philippians says, God works in us the willing and the doing. How do we perfectly reconcile that? We can't. Is God one or three? Yes, he's one God, but he's three persons. He's a Trinity. How do we fully reconcile that? We can't fully comprehend it. It's not a contradiction, but it's not fully comprehensible to us either as mere humans. So this is my encouragement to anyone who is listening to this. James warns us in James chapter 1 that we are to be slow to speak and slow to anger against God's word. He also tells us to be quick to hear. And everything that is said in this, by the grace of God, is coming straight from God's word. That is my attempt. I've been commissioned to do one thing, and that is preach the word. And that is what I intend to do by God's grace. So it starts off building off of the last podcast, which is God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, the next word is predestined, and now it picks up, and these whom he predestined. So it's like he went down one path, came back, and now is going down the next path from that starting point. So we could say those whom he foreknew, and these are whom he predestined. It is having a predetermined destination according to his intimate knowledge and knowing of his creation. When did this take place? According to Ephesians 1, it says, before the foundations of the world were laid, with the purpose of making us holy and blameless, bringing us in by adoption in accordance with the kind intention of his will. For what? To bring all the glory and praise to him. So these whom he has predestined, he also called. There is, of course, a general call to all who will hear the gospel. But this cannot be speaking about that call, because if it was, if you continue reading the verse, it says, those whom he called, he justified. Is every single person a receiver of salvation? Well, no. I'm sure you have shared the gospel with somebody who heard it and said, no thanks, and walked away. Were you calling unto them with the gospel for them to trust in Jesus? Absolutely you were, but they did not respond. So this must be talking about something else, and this is what you could call an effectual call by God. In John 6:44, Jesus himself said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or calls him, and I will raise him up on that last day. So we see God does this incredible, merciful, gracious work of wooing an individual to himself, of calling them to himself, that they would believe and trust in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 23, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So those who are called are those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is not foolishness to them, nor a stumbling block to them, but rather it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God, in his grace and mercy, he calls us to himself that we may be saved. Our faith is a gift from God, according to Ephesians 2. This does not take away the reality that a man must and does respond. Maybe this is a helpful illustration. When Jesus heals a blind man, he gives him sight, but they still have to open their eyes and look. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he gave him a beating heart, but he still had to stand up and walk out of the grave. I know it's an imperfect illustration, but maybe it gives some substance to the spiritual idea of, yes, God works in your heart, but yes, you must believe and trust. It gives all the glory to God. And so the next step is, those whom he has called, he also justifies. And justification, of course, we know from Romans, comes by faith. And what exactly is justification? It's the declaration of a sinner being righteous in Christ and therefore standing before God as holy and upright. And as Paul Washer has said, it's not just God declaring us to be righteous and right before him, but treating us as right before him. We have peace with God. There's no condemnation before God for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he did this by providing a propitiation through the blood of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 3. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Notice it's past tense. You're not yet fully glorified. You have not yet received your glorified body. You're not yet perfect. If you're listening to this, you're here on earth. So God's plan is not alterable. His word and his decree stand forever. Therefore, those whom he predestined, he has also called, and they are justified by him by faith, and therefore they will be and are as good as already glorified. It's a wonderful, encouraging truth. You cannot lose your justification. You will one day receive that glorified body promised to you. You'll receive eternal life, sinlessness, and life with God, being alongside of Christ. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you know God in a greater and deeper and more loving way today. It would be incredible mercy, Paul Washer said recently in a message that I listened to. It would be incredible grace and mercy for God to send us to hell just for a little while. But brothers and sisters, he has done so much more. He placed his wrath upon Jesus Christ. And if you have believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not only are you not going to hell, but you're receiving eternal life. Because whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified are as good as glorified. Praise the Savior.